The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. You're listening to Matt Slick Live. It's a nice Friday, and if you want to give me a call, as usual, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. That is an easy thing to do, and hope you want to give me a call and we can talk. So if you're a newbie to the show, we answer questions here, do theology, and I do it a little bit differently than a lot of people because a lot of people are book-read. I'm not complaining about that, but I basically do everything I can from street, street evangelism and learning my stuff on the street, so to speak. So I like to field test everything. Whew. All right, so there you go. Hey, and also, if you want to watch the show, I mean, I'm sitting here in my office. It's not that impressive, but hey, some people like to do that, and you can participate in the chat, which is really cool. We got a lot of people in there, and somebody's got a birthday. Who's a birthday in there? I can't remember. Who is it? Happy Ernie. Is it Ernie's birthday? Happy birthday, girl. Says Ernie, says girl. So, okay, whose here we go. Whose birthday is it? And someone says, hey, Carmites, Melissa's birthday. Happy birthday. I'd sing, but we don't want to cause dogs to have mental problems for weeks at a time. They start howling. They would never quit. Once, this is for real, once my daughter, one of my daughters who sings really well, asked me to sing. And we're driving along in the car, and I said, no, you don't. You don't want me to hear you sing. She goes, yeah, I do. I'm going to hear you. You say you're bad, but no one could be that bad. Come on. I'm going to hear you sing, Dad. And I said, yeah, you don't know what you're asking for. I mean, it's like, you know, two cats in a blender having a fight while it's on, you know. I mean, that's what I sound like. And she goes, no, no one's that bad. And I said, you really want me to sing? She goes, yes. I said, okay, I'll give you 3 seconds, okay? And she goes, okay. And I'll go, this is for real. And she says, I said, you ready? She goes, yeah. So I sang for 3 seconds. She stared at me. She stared for like 5 seconds. Then her face kind of went limp. And she said, was that for real? I said, yep. And she said, ay, 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 ay. I never forgot that. It cracked me up because that's how bad I am. And so she never said, somebody can't be that bad. She didn't say that anymore. She knew better. I'm sorry, man. I'm cracking up. I made myself laugh. Oh, see, I'm good company. So I like, that's why I like being alone. Okay. Oh, man, that's a stupid Friday. So anyway, hey, look, so if you have some serious stuff you want to talk about, you can give me a call. And if that doesn't happen, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to get to some hate mail and stuff like that, because I got some good hate mail. And we can get into some good stuff. Ooh, I love hate mail. I just love it. To me, it's like, yeah, hate mail. So I have a lot of fun with it. All right, hey, let's get on the call here with Rudolph. Hey, Rudolph, welcome back, buddy. You're on the air, man.
Yes, sir. Okay, thank you. My question is, did Satan recognize Jesus as Jesus when he was tempting him in the desert?
Yeah, he knew who he was. The demonic forces knew he's the Son of God. Satan certainly knew. But because Satan is insane in his evil, he doesn't care. He's just going to do whatever he can to resist truth and to resist the Holy One. So he did. And he tried to tempt Jesus to fall. And, of course, Jesus did not. Okay?
Okay. So, it's crazy because if you knew God can, he's got everything, how could you tempt somebody who has everything and you know them?
No, but more powerful. But that's not it. You're not thinking right. You got to think. You got to think. When someone is, look, have you ever been, so mad that you do you do stuff that's bad, and you know it. Even while you're doing it, it's just, you're so angry, you lost control of yourself. That's what Satan is like in his intense evil. And so he's just that bad all the time. So it's not an issue of rationality. It's evil that he is. And this is why it's like that, okay?
Okay. That makes sense. All right. Well, have a good weekend. Well, God bless you, and be praying for your wife, man. Take care.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yes,
good.
Sir,
thank
both.
You. All right. Well, that's it. Hey, that's the call for Friday so far. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. All right. Now we got nobody waiting, but we have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, please do. 877-207-2276. Now what I'm going to do is get into some hate mail. And if I had a drum roll, right now it would be good, you know, with applause and stuff like that. So let's see. I don't even know. I'm just reading this cold, okay? So I don't even know. I mean, you know, I won't put foul language and stuff in there, but let's see what he says. If the God character you define existed, it would ensure that you could not continue to be its advocate. Wow. Yes. Oh, man. So someone who doesn't know God exists says if he even did, then he wouldn't want you there. And so, I mean, that's interesting. Well, if how did you know? You know, anyway, your disgusting lies and behavior. And that makes me wonder, can you have non-disgusting lies and behavior? I think so. Your disgusting lives and behavior would indicate to me that of all God characters, the one you would benefit the most would be Satan, the father of lies. Congratulations on such a fine accomplishment of evil. Well, that was from a guy named Eric, and that's it. That's pretty nice. That's a good insult, you know. I've seen better. I have. I've seen better, but that's not bad. That's not bad. All right, let's try this one. I've listened to your radio and read your articles about the LDS Church, and you could not be any more wrong about our doctrines. Oh, I've only been studying it since 1980, you know, and Sandra Tanner, I know her. She's the number one person in the world on Mormonism. And Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson, they're up there in the top five, if not the two and three right there. I know them, but no, I've known them for 20, 30 years each. And they're experts on it. And so how could I mean, these are the experts I know. They tell me stuff. Anyway, the nonsense that you teach is the same thing I've heard from the last 35 years, and it lets me appreciate my faith even more. Wait a minute. You mean the idea of God coming from another planet? That makes you feel good? And, you know, that there's a goddess wife and secret handshakes and temples to become gods? Okay. For instance, you teach because we have an angel above our temples that we worship it. I didn't say that. That's another thing. They don't worship Moroni. Mormons don't worship Moroni. I never said they did. See, people so often, they misrepresent what I say. They don't hear what I'm saying. What I do say is, notice, folks, that you go into a temple and you bow down under the idol, under the statue of Moroni. He's atop. It's not Jesus, not God, it's an angel. And you go into the temple and you're kneeling underneath the presence of that angel, which is the highest point of your temples. The highest point is where an angel is, not where God is. Okay, so even you know this is not true. See, he didn't even get what I said right. This happens a lot. People misrepresent me. All right, so do Christians worship a wooden cross? No, we don't. It's no different than Moroni because it is created by man's hands, so it is wrong to have the cross. You know, someone could make the same, they could make the same argument for me. They could say, well, you know, you go into a church that has a cross on the top, on the steeple, and that you're just going there. And you sometimes you'll bow down, you worship there. What's the difference? Well, I would say, well, the difference is that we don't believe in an angel that gave something to somebody who claimed to restore the gospel. We don't believe that. And the cross is simply the symbol of the place where Jesus was crucified. And notice that the Mormons, they avoid the cross. There's no crosses. I've never seen any crosses on their temples. I've been in many, many temples, and I've been in many wards and wards anyway, and chapels, and I've never seen a cross in any of them. So why is it? It's like Jehovah's Witnesses. They avoid the cross too. I'll tell you why. Because the cross is a place where the one God, Trinity, second person of the Trinity, became flesh and bore our sin in his body on the cross and died and rose from the dead 3 days later. That cross is a place of redemptive work. And it's avoided by cults. Because it's a demonic thing. The demonic realm knows, avoid the cross. Avoid the cross. Yeah. Mormons avoid it. Jehovah's Witnesses avoid it. The Muslims deny it. Shame, shame, shame. All right, let's see. Now, if Jesus had been the only person who died on a cross, that may be different, but you know he was not. It was a cruel instrument of death. Okay. What if he had died on a guillotine? Would you hang one on your neck and put one on top of your building so you're intelligent yet so foolishly uninformed? You know, I like to add a little bit of spice to reading what they're saying, you know, like that. You know, you got to say it the right way. You're so intelligently yet. No, wait, I read it wrong. Try it again. Take three. You are so intelligent yet so foolishly uninformed. Thank you. That's good. That's a good insult, and I appreciate that. Let's get on the air with John from Raleigh, North Carolina. John, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. How are you?
I'm all right, man. Hanging in there. What do you got?
Okay, good. You going to be free at 7:30?
Oh, this is 1 minute, John.
1 minute.
Are we doing something at 7:30?
No, we haven't planned anything, but hopefully your schedule is getting less and less.
I'm trying to reduce stuff I'm doing now. I'm gonna take a break after the Bible study. I'm finishing Romans. I'm doing Wednesday nights. We're only gonna do once a month now for first Wednesday, and I have so much to do. So yeah, we could get together later tonight and talk. I haven't even looked at that Jen thing yet. I mean,
okay.
I'm still getting busy. What I'm doing is I'm learning how to balance my DMIN work and wife's health and taking her to doctor's appointments and that and my laziness. So I got to balance them all in there. Okay, so what do you got, man? Okay.
Looking for some help. Ramsey, our part Maine Coon, hasn't eaten since last weekend, and I've already gone through like almost $2,000 worth of vet bills. For an endoscopy, they want another $2,500 to $4,500, and that's not really going to happen. So right now we're trying to entice him to eat, but, you know, obviously if he's not getting nourishment, that's not happening. All the scopes, his stats are perfect, and it's just he's refusing to eat. Although about an hour ago, I got to put this stuff in his ear to entice him, and it's highly toxic. You're not supposed to get it on your hands or anything. And he actually went over to sniff and look at the food, so he didn't accept it. So I went out and got six other foods to try and get him to eat, and I'm hoping that he's starting to turn around.
Tuna fish.
You know, he's
tuna fish.
Yeah, I was a skipjack and salmon.
Okay.
They say to stay away from the tuna fish, but I think I'm going to get just a can of tuna fish to still hit that.
Hey, hold on now. We got a break, okay? So hold on, buddy. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. We have three open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's get back on with John. How you doing, buddy?
Okay. Is that your commercial? It sounds like your voiceover for the wind-up radios.
Yeah, they asked me to do a voiceover a while back, and now they're using it. I guess they like my voice.
I heard it the other day, and I was like, oh, that sounds like Matt.
I heard it, it was, it's cool. I like it. Yeah, cool.
I'll run in and get that. So, yep. So hopefully he's one of eight. I can't say no to my wife, but he's also the youngster, and you know how Maine Coons are. Actually, went in for his ultrasound they shaved them down, and in 15 years the woman's been doing ultrasounds. Nope, you gotta drug them. And then she looked at him just sitting on his back, sitting there. He's like, all right, I'll try. First one in 15 years. Same thing with x-rays. They love him. And you know, he's you know, sitting there purring, wants attention. But, you know, it's just drinking water and eating are the two things. My son, I think, saw him eating a pine needle. And that might be the whole cause of everything. But
well, could be.
The good thing is today he's coming out of his shell. 8.
Okay. He's 8?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, well, Maine Coons can have problems, and I know that. We have a Maine Coon, a Russian purebred. It's another story how we got that. But we didn't buy him. And so anyway, hey, I wouldn't spend that much money on a cat. Sorry. Wouldn't happen.
No. Well, that's we got to call the line at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the examinations are more expensive than people.
Yes. I say, well, thank you very much, but no, thank you very much.
Yeah,
that's it.
I hear you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's the prayers for this week, and is hopefully he makes the turnaround today, tomorrow. He'd be a great loss, but like you said, I got a stack load. If anybody wants a kitten, well, not a kitten, but a cat.
No. Yeah, I know how it is.
All right.
I know how it is.
Yeah. Yep.
I had to put one down last month.
Have a fine weekend, and I'll, I'll ping you later tonight.
Sounds good. All right, Ben.
Okay.
All right, well, God
Take
bless.
Care. God bless, and to your wife, and thank you.
Okay. All right, Ben. God bless.
Bye-bye.
All right. Now let's get to Cindy with an interesting question. Cindy, welcome. You're on the air.
Mm-hmm. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All righty. Hello, everybody. Mm-hmm. I have a question, but I'm just going to read a paragraph first because it says it better than I can.
Okay.
In recent years, a debate has emerged among conservative evangelicals over the eternal functional subordination or the eternal subordination of the Son. Mm-hmm. At the center of this dispute is the question of how we are to understand scriptural teaching regarding the nature of the Son's eternal relationship to the Father. Is the obedience of the Son to the Father limited merely to the incarnation, or does it also extend to the Son's eternal relationship with the Father?
Okay. So, there's a heresy called subordinationism. Subordinationism, that's not what you're talking about, but subordinationism says that Jesus is different in nature than the Father, and so the subordination that is exemplified is due to the nature difference. That's a heresy called subordinationism. All right, now.
Yes, and that's not what I'm talking about, yes.
Right. I just want to make sure that people know that when we talk about subordination, and I'm not saying subordinationism. All right, so what I'm going to do is go to a verse in the Bible, and I want people to take a look at it because I'm going to talk about this. We'll talk about the logic of some issues here. So I use this verse more and more. It's Ephesians 1, 4, and 5. Just as he, the Father, chose us, the elect, in him, the Son, before the foundation of the world. Now let's talk about this. So in the intertrinitarian communion from forever ago, it was always eternally the case that the Father chose in the Son. Always the case that the Father had chosen the elect in the Son. There was never a time when God would have an idea. Talking to the Word, have an idea, let's try this. Oh, okay. It did not happen like that. That's learning. God does not learn. So this is an eternal condition. Now, I may or may not get into logical versus temporal priority, but anyway, we'll see what if it's needed. So here, what we have here is the case that the in him, in Christ, is the fact of Christ being the federal head of the elect. The election can't occur without us being in Christ and in, and federal headship doesn't work without election. They both work together. They're different. But God, the Father's predestining and choosing can only be done in the guarantee of the crucifixion, of the atoning sacrifice. So from eternity past, in this fact, the Word was going to eternally be the one who would become flesh and eternally be in submission under the law to the Father in that sense. Furthermore, Jesus says in John 6:38, he says, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So when we look at this, we see this issue here. He says, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Now I'm going to take a sidestep. Jesus has two natures. That's the hypostatic union. And each nature has a will. That's called dithelotism. But the two extant wills in the one person of Christ are manifested as a single will in the single person of Christ. I don't know how that works, but that's what it is. Now, there's a doctrine called the communicatio idiomatum, where the communication of the properties of both natures are ascribed to the single person. So the single person would say, I am thirsty, that's claiming the human attributes, I will be with you always, claiming the divine attributes. So we see the communication of the properties of both natures to the one person. In light of that, Jesus said, I came down from heaven. Well, the I can't be the physical, it can't be the human, because there is no pre-existence. So when he says, I came down from heaven, he's talking through and by the attribution of the divine qualities and properties to him as a person. So he can claim those attributes of pre-existence, which is why in John 17:5, glorify me with the glory I had with you before the foundation of the world. So what's interesting is that Jesus is claiming to have that knowledge, that experience, that essence from forever ago. But it was always the case that he says, I came down from heaven not to do my own will. So that means then that the will of the Son in the pre-incarnate everything from forever ago was to submit to the will of the Father and become one of us and die for our sins. Now we could say not to do my own will is also attribution of the human nature, because Jesus says, I don't want to do this in Luke 22. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. So there's a mixture of the wills, and it gets more complicated. I'm not going to get into that. So what we're seeing here is it looks like in the intertrinitarian communion, in the perichoretic relationship, I just had to throw that big word out, the mutual indwelling, that from forever ago, the Father was going to send the Son, and the Son would become one of us, and so that eternal decree is what is sometimes called eternal subordination, that the Son would always be the one who came to do the will of the Father from forever ago. Hold on, we got a break, and we'll get back to that in a bit. Please stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. Welcome back. Hey, just want to give you a reminder that we do stay on the air by your donations, your support. We don't get paid to do this. We have to pay the bill to be able to provide this to you, and it's not cheap. So if you like what you hear and you want to see it continue, would you please consider supporting us? Just go to carm.org/donate, carm.org/donate, and all the information you need will be right there. We'd appreciate it. All right, let's get back on the air with Cindy. Okay, Cindy, you still there?
Yes, I am.
All right, did that help?
Are you done?
Yes. Yep. That help enough? Try to get through it before the break.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. So as your answer, yes or no?
Well, I had to explain what it is and why it is a doctrine. What's that?
It depends on what sense you're talking about, I suppose.
Right. And not many people will explain this. And so I like to explain things on the air. Some people say, well, eternal subordination. Some say yes, some say no. It's, you know, the Son's always in subjection of the Father. Is that true? Well, we don't know because blah, blah, blah. I went through and laid the foundation why biblically, so people can go, I get what's going on now. So that's what I was doing, giving you guys some extra. All right? Free of charge.
Thank you. I'm going to go to the website. Is that on the website?
I don't know. Charlie will tell me. So there's that. Okay. Is that on there? Charlie says, yes, it is. He's nodding. What's really nice about this program I'm on, I can see the guys in the room, and he keeps his camera on. I can ask a question like I am right now, like, okay, Charlie, take your hat off and on, you know? And then, so he'll do that. You know, he's laughing. And so I can see him. I can ask a question. He'll give me an answer as he types and stuff. So he says, yes, it's there. It's called eternal subordination. Is that what it is, Charlie? And you can type it in the private there. But just go look. You'll find it. I've written on it before. I know I have.
Thanks. All right. Thanks very much.
You're welcome very much. All right. Well, God bless. Okay. All right. Now let's get to Jamal from, North Carolina. Jamal, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Master. Hope you're doing well today, sir.
Doing okay. I'm hanging in there. Tired, busy, so much to do. A little bit whiny, but I'm okay. How's that?
Okay. All right. Well, I'm pretty sure that's a lot of us right now.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, so what do you ask about evidence of Jesus? Of course, I'm a believer, but I was kind of battling somebody, going back and forth. I mentioned the empty tomb. I mentioned him going in front of Pilate, Pontius Pilate, and a few other things. But you know, I wanted to pull out my ace in the hole, Matt Slick, and see what you said about that.
When people say, I want the evidence for Jesus, I say, okay, get a Bible and start reading. You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John.
Right.
And they'll say, well, that's not evidence. I said, it isn't? Well, tell me what evidence is. Define it for me, please. And, well, what they want is they want something other than the Bible. And I'll say, why should we agree to that? Why should we agree to say we're going to exclude the eyewitness accounts of Christ? And you say, aside from all the eyewitness accounts, tell me something else. Otherwise, I won't believe he exists. It's kind of a lame argument. Now, if someone were to say, okay, I see what you say about the Bible. Is there anything outside the Bible for that? And say, yes, there is. And there are accounts of other historians around that time writing about Jesus, but they never really saw him or encountered him. So they're repeating what people had said. So that's secondary. It's called a hearsay. Well, people say, well, I reject that. I say, okay, you can reject it. That's, you know, just like you reject the Bible. I can't help you then. I mean, there's the eyewitness accounts written in the Bible, and that's what you need to go to. Okay? All right?
Yeah, that makes sense. It's kind of like what I heard about accounts with George Washington. I heard there's more historical evidence to prove Jesus than it is for George Washington.
I don't know if that's accurate. Well, I think it is pretty accurate for Alexander the Great and stuff like that.
Okay.
And Plato, I think. Yes, there's more corroborating evidence for the person of Christ than like Alexander the Great. So, and I say to people, do you believe that Alexander the Great lived? Yes. Well, there's more evidence for in the biblical documents than there is for him. So why do you believe Alexander, but you don't believe in Jesus? Why the inconsistency? And it comes down to this. Because Jesus claimed to be God and did miracles, rose from the dead, that can't happen. So therefore, it did not happen. Therefore, it's not trustworthy. At that point, I say, well, how do you know it can't happen? Do you have all knowledge of all places and all situations and all things that you can say universally this doesn't happen? Well, no, but it just hasn't happened. That I have to be convinced. Okay, what would convince you? I have to see it. Oh, so you want to see an historical event? Do you believe that George Washington lived? You don't see him. They're just so inconsistent, all over the place. Okay.
Right. I guess at that point, you got to get into Bill and Ted's elevator and go back in time and see it for yourself.
That is... Bill and Ted, that's right. That was such a great movie. I love that movie. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. That's right. It was a phone booth. That's right. And they had a lot of fun in that. And I like it when they met Socrates.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
Socrates. That was so good.
All right. Socrates. To recap real quick, let's see. Ask them what evidence that they would want, and then hit them with that. Mm-hmm. And... yeah, I think that's a good enough approach right there. All right, appreciate it, Slick.
That's right. All right, man. Sounds good, buddy. God bless, Jamal.
Okay. God bless.
Hey, folks, wide open lines. If you want to give me a call, nobody waiting, 877-207-2276. I think what I'm going to do now is get back to some emails and some hate mails, because they are, in my opinion, wonderful. Man. So here's another one, okay? And this is from a few years ago, but let's check it out. Pastor Arnold Murray is the best. I've learned a lot from him. There is no rapture. You won't find it in the Bible. Yes, you will. It always gets me. The rapture is not in the Bible. And I'll say, well, yes, it is. And then I'll take him here. I'll go to 1 Thessalonians, right? 4:16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That's the rapture. That's what we define as the rapture. That is it by definition. And so, you know, people will say, well, that's not it. It's not it. Anyway, it's right there. And one thing I've noticed about the Arnold Murray, the Murrayites, is that they're usually quite obstreperous. They're obnoxious, irritating, accusatory, and they don't listen. And they refuse to be taught by anybody other than their leader. And it's a certain kind of mental failure that a lot of people have when they just listen to him. I don't care what you say. He's right. If you've ever watched Arnold Murray, you can see how bad he is. In fact, there was an instance, and I have it on recording. I don't know if I still have it on the site, where there was somebody came to his study. This is, I don't know, 20 years ago, whatever it was. And came to his study, stood up, and all you hear is the audio. And, you know, he says, you're a heretic, you're this, you're that. And Arnold Murray says, get rid of that guy, get rid of that boy, take this gun to that boy. He actually said that. And that was a death threat. And so he said that. But it's really, you know, this is the kind of guy he was. Really uppity, arrogant, and the people who follow him become like that. I can tell you many, many, many times I've gotten emails from people, and they don't say what group they're listening to, and I'll just write back and go, you follow Arnold Murray, don't you? And they'll say, that's right, because you're wrong, and you're the, you can just tell, because they're so irritating. You know, the Mormons don't agree with me, but they're polite. You know, I mean, there's a jerk here, every you know, like everybody, you know, any group. But for the most part, they're polite. Same with Jehovah's Witnesses. And the Muslims, mostly they're polite. But the consistently, out of the Murrayites, most of them are obstreperous. Now, what does that mean? It means boisterously recalcitrant. Okay. So it says, he reads chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Well, so do I. I do the same thing. And I had a challenge out to him. Before he passed away, I had a challenge out to fly out and debate him on his TV show. And nothing. And I the debates still stand. I'll go out to those guys. I'll do it on these issues. But they don't do that. They don't do debates because they'll get exposed. So they don't do that. Anyway, he goes on, if you were a real Christian, you'd know not to judge. God is a judge. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:15, the spiritual man appraises all things. We can make spiritual judgments. So if someone is a murderer, we can judge that as sinful. So to say there's no judgment is really ridiculous. And everybody judges what fruit to eat, what church to go to, what bills to pay. You make all kinds of judgments. And you make judgments about people's sin, and you condemn their sin. And you say, that is wrong. That theft was wrong. Don't make judgments. Of course you do that. You don't even know what you're talking about. So, yeah, God's a judge, but we don't judge people's salvation unless they obviously deny essentials in the Christian faith. There's the music, and we'll be right back for the last segment of the week of this hour, right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. The last segment of the hour. Let's get back on, or let's get with Chase from Michigan. Hey, Chase, welcome. You're on the air, man.
Yeah, you were just talking about 1 Thessalonians and the rapture.
Okay.
And what nobody seems to talk about, and I'm not sure because I don't have my Bible on me right now, is 2 Thessalonians.
Okay, what about it? I talk about Second Thessalonians pretty regularly, actually. But
it's along the lines of, you know, let no man deceive you.
Right, till the coming of the Antichrist, right, the day of the Lord. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Sure, about the falling away, right?
Yeah, the apostasy. Uh huh. Yeah.
Okay.
So what about it?
So doesn't that, in other words, doesn't that kind of combat that we're not going to be here? In other words, these preachers preaching.
We're going to be here. We're going to be here. We're going through it. Oh, yeah. That's my position. We're going to see it, and it's going to get bad. Christians are going to be here. We're not getting raptured out before it. Okay?
But that's what people don't talk about. Before what? And before when? Because if we're going to get raptured out of here before the, you know, S hits the fan, then Revelation wouldn't really be necessary for us to know.
Of course it is, because God gave it to us to know, and there's stuff to know in it.
No, that's what I'm saying. I agree 100%. But it seems like a lot of the church preaches that we're going to be taken away, and we're going to be raptured out of here, and we're not going to have to deal with any of the Antichrist and everything that's going on.
A lot of them say that. So I don't see any evidence for that in Scripture. Okay. All right. And, go ahead.
No, by all means, take the floor. You understand what I'm getting at?
Yes. A lot of people just preach pre-trib rapture because it's what's been taught for decades in churches all over America. It fits really nicely because it's comforting. Because we as Americans don't have to go through all the...
You don't agree with pre-trib then?
No, pre-trib rapture I do not agree with. I argue against it. Okay?
Okay.
Nothing in Scripture, in my opinion, from what I see, nothing in the Scripture supports it. But if anything, you can go to Matthew 13. Well, let me do it this way. Matthew 24 and Luke 17, it says, two men are in the field, one is taken, one is left. And most everybody says that's a rapture. It has nothing to do with the rapture.
It has nothing to do with the rapture. You're absolutely right.
Right. It's the wicked who are taken. All you got to do is read the context. And they don't even read the context. And they even ask, where are they taken? And Jesus says at the end of Luke 17, where the body is, the vultures gather. So, but if you go to Matthew 13, which is really interesting, in Matthew 13, the parable of the wheat and the tares, Jesus says that at the end of the age, that's Matthew 13:40. In Matthew 13:30, he says, that wheat and the tares are in the field. Which ones you take? He says, first gather the tares. The first ones taken or gathered are the wicked. And he says, and then gather the wheat into the barns. That's what Jesus says in Matthew 13:30. This blows people away when I show them this. And I say, why is it? You know, it's right, it says. And then he says in verse 40, he says at the end of the age, on that day and stuff, that the Son of Man will come and send his angels, and they'll take out of his kingdom the stumbling blocks. Now, some people say, well, that's the millennial kingdom. Well, is it? Because there's only one return of Christ. Only one, not two, not two and a half, just one, the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord's when the rapture occurs, and the day of the Lord's when the new heavens and new earth are made. And I can show that from Scripture. So when I show this to people, it really messes them up. It only takes 5 minutes. And then I ask them, why is it I can do this so quickly? And all these preachers are saying all this stuff, but they're apparently not just seeing what it actually says in context. What's the problem with that? They're not teaching, in that sense, biblical theology, but they're teaching their denominational theology. And that's a problem. Okay?
Okay.
All right?
Yeah. I wish I had my Bible, because I'd like, my hamster wheel's spinning, and I'd like to dig into it with you a little bit. I'm kind of unprepared.
That's all right. Just look at...
Nobody touches 2 Thessalonians, it seems like.
No, I use 2 Thessalonians regularly when I'm talking to Catholics, okay, about sacred tradition and things like that. And I talk about it here that things are going to get bad, and how the Catholic and the Eastern Orthodox Church are already apostate, but the Protestants shouldn't look down their noses at them, because it says the apostasy is going to come and that means Protestant denominations, etc., are going to go apostate too. And they are. They're going woke, supporting homosexuality, have women pastors and elders. They're doing all kinds of things that are unbiblical. Slowly, and inch by inch, they're moving into apostasy. Okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, man.
All right, I appreciate it. I'll be calling. I'll call back.
Sounds good.
When I got my Bible in my hand. All right.
Sounds good, buddy.
I appreciate it. I appreciate everything you do.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
Yep.
All right. Well, that was Chase from Michigan, and we have wide open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. All right. Now. So during the break, I glanced at some more hate mail. The next one in line, whoa, I love this one. Check this out. Hi, hello, Matt Slick. As a prophet called upon by the Most Holy Father in these last days, I am here to tell you. Now, when someone starts off something like that, I'm loving it because now they claim to be a prophet from God. And they're saying, I'm a prophet of God, and I'm here to tell you. Let me explain everything, because I'm here to tell you what this. You know, I'm like, ooh, good, a prophet from God. I'm here to tell you that the words coming out of your mouth are not the Holy Spirit, but by an egotistical boaster, braggart, lover of self, reviler, and bully. Now, how many insults, how many words is this? One, two, three, four, five, six. That's six in there. And he forgot a comma. He got a space problem in there. Where is the love that is so special through the Father's Holy Spirit? You are only showing people what you know and how smart you are, which is not of the Father, His Spirit, His Son. You bring about chaos and cause confusion and try to make the born-again Christian doubt his faith and his salvation. Now, here's I love this stuff. You try and do this, okay? When someone says, this is what you're trying to do. Well, wait a minute. It's not what I'm trying to do. How do you know what I'm trying to do? And people don't realize how bad they are. You know, I know what you're thinking, and I know the intentions of your heart, and I'm going to tell you because I'm a prophet of God. Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, it just so much heresy, so little time. I would say, look, you check what I say against Scripture. That's what I always tell people. You don't trust a guy in the radio named Slick. And incidentally, folks, that's my it's my real last name. Slick is my real last name. Reverend Slick. So you don't trust a guy named Slick. You check it out for yourself. All right? And I always say, here's the verses. Go check it out. Okay? All right. He goes on. This is of the evil one, and all the characteristics that you have showed me, mentioned earlier in letter, is destined to be cast in the lake of fire. Wow. Whoa. Okay. He doesn't give me any examples. He just says it. You're egotistical. Well, I am. You're a boaster. That's for sure. A braggart. Yeah. Lover of self. That's true. Reviler. Yeah, I guess it's so. And a bully. I've been a bully three times on the radio in the past year, maybe. Okay. So I can't say no to all of those because I'm a sinner. If someone said, and you're prideful. Yeah, that's true. You're self-centered. Yeah, that's right. I got these things in me. But I submit them to Christ, and I try not to let them rule me, you know? So it's kind of unfair when someone says something like that, because it's like, well, yeah, all those are true. Yeah, that's true. What am I going to say? And like Charlie, I've known Charlie since 1980. I could say to him, Charlie, you're a prideful buffoon. Let's see if he nods his head. See, he's nodding his head. You can't see. See? If he were to say, Matt, you're a prideful buffoon, I go, yep. That's just how it is. We know what we are. We're sinners. I'm not saying it's okay. Okay, but anyway. I am baptized by the Lord through the Father's Holy Spirit. Well, I asked... Oh, wait, I missed a sentence. You need to get on the ground and beg the Father for his forgiveness of such waywardness you exhibit. Well, I do. Wow. I asked the Father to please help me say the right words to you so you will listen not to me but what the Spirit is trying to say to you. Okay? That's a good prayer. I pray that you are with ears and have eyes to see. I do have ears and eyes. But God has to be the one who opens them up. You see? That's it. He says, I truly feel you have not the Spirit nor have you been born again. Whoa. Oh, wow. Now the person is judging my salvation. You are using a mortal mind, taking of spiritual things. The mortal mind, that sounds like a mind scientist. That sounds like a mind science thing. The mortal mind. Ooh, I have a spiritual mind. You know, it's Christian Science stuff. Let's see. You cannot discern spiritual thinks if... must be word thoughts. You cannot discern spiritual thoughts if you are not of the Father's Spirit. Pray for the Father to forgive you and get you back on your feet again, doing what he is wanting you to do for him, not Matt Slick. Peace be unto you forever and always, Larry. Yeah, I love that. I've had a lot of emails over the years. You are so full of, you're about a son of a, you're maybe love so-and-so. I just love those endings, you know. They're just vitriolic. Vituperative. That's another big word I like. Vituperative. Vituperation. And they're a, they're mean. Vociferous. That means wordy insults, okay? Vituperative. All right? So, you vituperative twit. Try and say that one. That's not easy to do. But I'm an expert, so I can do it, okay? Don't try this at home, folks. You might hurt yourself. All right, let me try another one. We have no callers. I love hate mail. It really amazes me, Matt, that you try to denounce the Catholic Church. I don't try. I do it. That they are not Christians. No, I don't say that. I say official Roman Catholic theology is not Christian. I don't say all Catholics aren't Christians. I say if you follow official Roman Catholic theology, you're not, you can't be saved. And he goes on, well, look in the mirror, Matt. You know, I do that regularly, but I'm trying to do it less because I'm not liking what I'm seeing. You know, I'm almost 67, and I went in the bathroom one time, you know, and turned the light on when I wasn't really expecting it, and I shocked myself. I said, it happens, you know. Anyway, she's looking in the mirror. Why would I want to do that? My wife has enough trouble looking at me. I don't want to. Anyway, chances are you will see Satan. Whoa. Wow. Yes, you, Matt. Oh, this is a good one. This is good. Victor and I tried debating you in Pal Talk. It's an old thing. To no avail. You deny that baptism us needed for salvation. That's right. Baptism is not needed for salvation. That's right. And other stupid comments you make. Matt, you and your multi-million dollar corporation is just that. I did not know we're a multi-million dollar corporation. All I know is we're struggling every week to make ends meet to pay the missionaries. We're struggling, and we really are. So we're multi-million dollar? Wow. Woo. Oh, okay, let me go on. This is, oh, we're almost out of time. Oh, man. This goes. Oh, we are out of time. Oh, man, maybe I'll come back to this one next week. Oh, that's right. Maybe next week I'll be driving at this time. I don't know. Going down to Salt Lake City, which is another thing. And I'll be preaching down there, turns out, at City on a Hill Church. I forgot to mention it in a couple of weeks. Anyway, hey, folks, have a great weekend, everybody. And we'll talk to you on Monday. God bless.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.